Up next, we bring you the Phenology Report with John Latimer. I'm Heidi Holton. I get the great opportunity, is that the right word? To spend time every Tuesday morning with John Latimer and be there as he is looking through his notes, creating the Phenology Report that gives us just this connection to nature. This week, some of my favorite topics, that includes berries. Love this time of year. Our raspberries are going crazy. I've got my eye on some blueberries. A friend of mine has told me about them, but says I cannot tell anyone else. So hopefully by next week, I'll have both raspberries and blueberries in my freezer. We always want to hear from you about what you are seeing. John also going through in this Phenology Report, the different kinds of flowers that we're going to be seeing by color, what white flowers, what yellow flowers, and all of that. Let us know what you are seeing. You can always leave us a SpeakPipe message. And thank you for signing up for the Season Watch podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a great way to make sure that you get this kind of information each and every week. Find it at your regular podcast platforms like Apple and Spotify and more. Or look for all this information at kexe.org under Season Watch. We've got a KEXE membership drive. Don't forget, KEXE celebrating 50 years as the first rural public radio station in the nation. You hear that word public radio, and you know that last year there was a loss of federal funding that will continue into the future. 13% of the budget of KEXE. We don't just make radio. We also have great information online, and we bring you podcasts as well. We're looking for your help, especially for nature programming and a connection to the environment led by John Latimer here at KEXE. If you've already done your part and are a member, another way you can help is be a part of that matching fund. It's easy to do. You can call us at 218-326-1234. I'm Heidi Holton. Up next, the one, the only, it's John Latimer.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And boy, I'll tell you, the events that are taking place right now, they center on and focus on and are absolutely being dined upon by hundreds of birds as we speak. And I'm talking about the ripe berries, raspberries, Juneberries. Both are fully ripe. Blueberries are coming. They're very close. I have some ripe ones, but nothing worth going out and picking at this point. But the raspberries are probably at their peak, and Juneberries are definitely, well, you've heard me talk about Juneberries. they ripen asynchronously. Even though all the flowers came out on the same day, they ripen sort of, I'm going to turn ripe today, and my partner, the berry next to me is still green, and he's not even thinking about turning ripe yet. What happens, of course, is that you walk up to a Juneberry bush and you go, oh man, tomorrow there are going to be twice as many ripe berries. I'll come back and eat them or pick them. Some of you will pick them in. And not eat them immediately the way I would, but some will pick them and bring them home and make a nice preserve. But it's hard to do with Juneberries because the robins and the white-throated sparrows and the cedar waxwings are in there, and they're looking at those berries like, oh, there's a ripe one. Oh, there's a ripe one. Oh, there's a ripe one up there. So they're finding every ripe berry and gobbling it up as they ripen. You and I, we look one 15-minute pass, maybe one 5-minute pass, and we go, tomorrow there's going to be a ton of them. I'll be back. And you come back tomorrow, and it's the same thing. You look at them, and you think, oh, I'll make another. Yeah, tomorrow there'll be more. But there never are because the birds are eating the ripe ones. And the same thing is true of raspberries, although the robins and the sparrows don't eat as many of those. Those get eaten, a lot of them get eaten by ruffed grouse. They just wander around and pick them and eat them. I've watched the ruffed grouse walk along the edge of my raspberry patches, and just you'll see them leap up off the ground, just flap the wings once, and up 12, maybe 18 inches, grab a berry, come down, eat it, and wander off. A couple of other berries that were ripe and are no longer, well, in one case, the red elderberry, which is not edible. I've explained all that to you many times, so you know that you don't want to eat the red elderberry. It can't be made into anything edible. It has a bunch of chemistry in it that makes you pass the seeds through you in a hurry. And if you need that to be explained to you, well, think about that cyclospora that's going around right now. The red elderberry has that in spades. The other berry that is not yet ripe and really doesn't get harvested as a berry, but is done flowering and is in the process of forming the berries, is sumac. Both smooth sumac and staghorn sumac are both done flowering, and you've got these cones, 4 or 5 inch cones that are maybe an inch and 3/4 to 2 inches at the bottom and then tapering. And they're sort of a reddish color now, turning deeper red, but they're off red now, kind of a pale or a mixed red, almost pink. And they are going to be getting much more sour over the next few days. And you're thinking, well, what do I care? You can't eat them. There's nothing there but fuzz. There's a thin fruit on the outside of a very large seed inside of the sumac. And that thin fruit is really just mostly the fuzz on the outside of the berry or outside of the seed. But if you pick that whole flower head and pour hot water through it, catch it in cheesecloth, pour hot water through it, catch the water, and the result is a fairly tasty lemonade-y kind of a drink. It's this exudate on the outside of the berry washes off. It's an acid, and it washes off and falls into the water. And we'll flavor the water so that if you are interested in a bit of sumac aid, lemonade made from sumac, give it a try. And if you're not into that, if you have sumac in your yard, just go over and pick off a couple of the berries and put them in your mouth and let them sort of roll around. And when they're primed for making this lemonade drink, they will be sour in your mouth. But as I said, if you hold them in there for a while and try to, you know, maybe smash them against the roof of your mouth and get to the juice that's inside, there isn't much. There's this thin layer of skin, some fuzz on the outside, the sour acid taste, and then a very large seed in there. So check out sumac, maybe make some lemonade, pick the raspberries and the Juneberries. They're going to be a lot easier to come by. Some notes about birds this week. This is the time of year when the baby birds are coming out in spades. We're already probably into our second group of robins, but the sandhill cranes were out in the fields this last week, and I didn't see their colt, but I suspect that they have one, and that little guy is probably hiding in the tall grass. These guys were out wandering around in the field and checking for bugs and doing what they do. So sandhill cranes have young. The bald eagle that has the nest in my front yard, the juvenile has fledged and is practicing his flight. I see him often soaring and flying, flapping, and traveling here and there as he begins to understand the dynamics of flight. And that is a proud moment for me. This is the first time in 3 years that nest has produced any offspring. The last 2 years, they were failed nesting, and I'm not sure why, but this year they managed to get one to flight stage, so good on the eagles. I had a juvenile pileated woodpecker at my feeder this week. I had a juvenile red-bellied woodpecker, juvenile hairy woodpecker, juvenile downy woodpecker, juvenile rose-breasted grosbeak, and the white and red-breasted nuthatches are coming to the feeder as well. I have purple finches coming, though I don't see any juveniles yet. And the same is true of the nuthatches. I'm not sure what's going on there. So, looking at reptiles, I mentioned earlier that I had captured a tadpole. I did capture a tadpole, and I captured a frog that wasn't a half an inch long, and half of that half inch was a tail that was being rapidly consumed by the frog as it grew itself bigger by absorbing its tail. This little tiny frog had the remnants of its tadpole tail, and it was probably just getting ready to switch from gills and breathing oxygen through the water to lungs and breathing oxygen through its mouth and nose and out in the open ground. Green frogs are calling right now. A single kind of a flat note. Think of a untuned banjo with one string. And that is sort of the call of the green frog. It's kind of a bark or a boom. It's not very musical. But they are calling and probably getting ready to attract a mate and carry on the generations. This past week, I saw a lot of garter snakes. I don't like the hot weather, but they sure do. And in one spot, I found four very large garter snakes. And I suspect that they were females because they were all greater than 2 feet in length. And they were close to an inch in diameter. So they were big, big snakes. And typically the garter snake, the large garter snake, is the female. The males tend to be much smaller. So, but lots of garter snakes out. The hot weather, they're outside getting warmed up. Sue sent me a note from Ely. She pictured that her husband sent along, said showed a picture of a garter snake crawling over a toad. Had a long way to go, and he had a lot of toad to stuff in his mouth, but he was on his way toward a big meal. And that's kind of what happens. They warm up and they get active, and then they find something like a toad or a frog or a mouse, and they swallow it down and slows them up for a couple of weeks while they digest that. Let's see what other. Oh, the monarch butterflies. There are lots and lots of monarchs around. This is the next generation. This generation are the offspring of the ones that came back on the 1st of May, or 1st of June, sorry. 1st of June, typical migratory monarchs come in. They feed, they find milkweed, they lay their eggs, those eggs develop and hatch, and this time of year we get another crop of monarchs. And they will do the same thing. They will feed and find milkweed and lay their eggs, and those eggs will hatch. And those are the monarchs that will fly south. And I was out with a group of campers at Sugar Lake Lodge the other day, and we found a very small, perhaps 1 centimeter long, so that's like 3/8 of an inch, caterpillar. And that's probably the second instar. So caterpillars shed their skin and get larger. And then when they reach the sort of tight skin stage, they shed that skin and they get larger. And they do that 4 times. The monarchs do that 4 times on their way to the 5th time. And the 5th time is when they do it in the chrysalis. And that's where the magic happens, where the whole caterpillar just decomposes, rearranges. I don't know how you describe it. They go in as a caterpillar and they come out as a butterfly. Pretty neat trick if you can accomplish it. So Check out the monarchs, lots of them, lots of fritillaries around. The fritillaries are going to look like monarchs until you kind of look closely, and then you'll realize, oh, wait, that's not a monarch. They're orange. Most of the fritillaries are orange and nearly monarch size, a little bit smaller. I'm not seeing Canada tiger swallowtails, and I'm not seeing morning cloaks, but they will, well, the morning cloaks will reappear just before fall as they overwinter as adults. The tiger swallowtails probably have already laid their eggs and died, and those eggs will hatch into caterpillars, and those caterpillars will spend the winter as caterpillars and emerge almost simultaneous to the arrival of the monarch butterflies from migration next spring. So may have seen the last of the Canada tiger swallowtails. There might be a few more, but not very many. I sort of divided the flowers that are blooming right now into three groups. Tall yellow flowers. Of the tall yellow flowers, and there are five or six of them that are blooming right now, tansy, brown-eyed Susans, mullion, evening primrose, and just this last week, the tall sunflower began to bloom 2 days early by my count. But this time of year, there really isn't much variation. Tansy, brown-eyed Susans, mullion, primrose, tall sunflower, they all bloomed within a few days of their average. They just don't have that spread that you get in the spring, that when you get a cool spring or a warm spring, you know, you can alter the bloom date on a lot of those early spring flowers by weeks, 10 days. Anyway, that doesn't happen in the middle of summer. It just kind of averages out. Jewelweed, spotted touch-me-not, that one is in flower as well. That's orange, not maybe yellow, but certainly close enough. I'm putting it in with the tall yellows. Purple flowers, bergamot, there's a huge patch right outside the window here. Swamp milkweed, purple loosestrife, Canada thistle, all of those are purple and are blooming now. Burdock will be purple. It's not blooming yet. When I look at it, I can see where the flower is. I can see the flower head, but it hasn't opened up yet, so that's yet to come. Among the white flowers, meadowsweet, water hemlock, and white campion are the three taller, more noticeable white flowers that are growing right now. The meadowsweet is a shrub, woody-stemmed, and has a cone of tiny white flowers that's going to be 3 or 4 inches long, maybe 5 inches long, and maybe an inch and a half wide at the base. They are worth looking at. If you have them growing near you, walk up and give them a close look. They are really quite spectacular. The flowers are pink in the center and really quite beautiful. You won't be disappointed. Final note for the day, the cattails have been flowering, and now the male flowers are spent. The pollen is exhausted, and the female flowers are probably all pollinated. The male flowers are starting to decompose and will soon fall away. And that's what's happening there. So that's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in and stay tuned. We'll be talking more nature this morning, and we encourage you to share what observations you might have.